All right, so I want to talk about the Ketores, and of course, Ketores is very much in everybody's mind these days because we know the segula that exists for Ketores when it comes to stopping a plague. And that's, of course, found in this week's parsha, and later in the parsha when Aaron is taught by Moshe, told by Moshe, instructed to go and offer Ketores because of the Magefa, the plague that broke out in the wake of the Machlokas of Korach, when the people were complaining, and then a plague breaks out, 14,000 some people die, and Aaron's offering the Ketores stopped it. So that's one reference of Ketores in the parasha, and that was Ketores to stop the Magefa. And earlier in the parasha, we also have Ketores, when Moshe Rabbeinu presents the challenge for Adas Korach, that the 250 people should offer Ketores. Aaron will offer Ketores, we'll see whose Ketores gets accepted, whose Machta gets accepted, and Aaron, of course, was chosen, and the 250 were burnt, and their Machtos were sanctified and put as a plate, a coating of the Mizbeach. So we have Ketores both in the beginning of the Parsha and later on in the Parsha. So I want to talk about the interesting question. Both times the suggestion to offer Ketores was presented by Moshe Rabbeinu, and both times it was presented after the Torah describes how Moshe Rabbeinu fell down and was on his face. The first time it says Moshe Rabbeinu hears Korach's argument when Korach presents his case, Kichol ha'edo kulam kedoshim, rav lachem, vayishma Moshe vayipol al panav. Moshe falls down, and then after that he speaks to Korach and he makes the suggestion that this is what everybody should do. Everybody take a machta from the 250 of Korach's group and Aaron and so on. That's one time, which is Vayipol al panav. That was Moshe himself. And then if we look later in the parasha, after the Bnei Yisrael complained, we're going to look at that pasuk as well, the specific nature of their complaint. But if you are following in the Chumash, so this would be in Yud Zayin Vav, Bnei Yisrael tell Moshe and Aaron, Atem Hamitem Es Am Hashem. We'll have to see what they mean by that. You have killed the nation of Hashem. And as a result of that, it says that Moshe and Aaron come to the Olam Moed, and Hashem says to Moshe and Pasuk Tes, go get yourself away from these people. I'm going to destroy them. Va'achala Osam Kiroga. In other words, a plague is about to break out. Vayipu al pneihem. Here it says Moshe and Aaron both fell on their faces. And the next pasuk, Vayom Moshe el Aaron, Moshe says to Aaron, take the machta, put fire on it, and put ketores, and you'll be able to atone for the people because the wrath already has started and the negev has begun. So what's interesting is both in the beginning of the parasha, the suggestion of ketores that Moshe Rabbeinu makes to Adas Korach was made after Vayipo al panav. And here as well, Vayipo al panehem, when Hashem says, I'm going to destroy everybody, and Moshe and Aaron fall on their faces, and Moshe tells Aaron at that point, take the machta. Is there a connection? Is there a connection between the suggestion of Moshe Rabbeinu and what happened right before in both cases where he fell on his face? And what exactly was the nature of this suggestion? Where did it come from? Was it Moshe Rabbeinu's own idea? Did it somehow get inspired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Was it communicated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? These things are very ambiguous in Psukim, and we'll see the Ramban himself has a couple of suggestions on it, and we'll see the implications of all of this. It's interesting, we spoke last week about a pasuk in Shlach, where it also says that Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces. So really, two parshas in a row where we have references to Moshe falling, Moshe and Aaron falling on their faces. And with those who remember from last week, we had an interesting insight of the Ramban that the pshat in that pasuk in Parsha Shlach is not really that they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather they were almost beseeching the people, saying, please don't say what you're saying, don't despair on getting Eretz Yisrael. It was not davening to Hashem in the presence of the Kahal Adas Yisrael, it was almost going begging Kahal Yisrael to let up. That's not how the Gemara and Taina seems to understand that pasuk, but that's how the Ramban does. But now in this parsha, when we have Vayipo al panav and Vayipo al panayim, it's clearly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, before we even begin to look at it, there's also something interesting to notice how the first time it says Vayishma Moshe Vayipo al panav. The second time, Hashem, it says that they both fell on their faces, Moshe and Aaron. And here, it's hard to know why, in fact, it's only Moshe. After all, Korach is confronting both Moshe and Aaron. Vayikalu al Moshe ve'al Aaron. Vayomru Alehem Rav Lachem. So both of them were being addressed with this accusation. And yet Vayishma Moshe Vayipo Apanav. And yet later on, Vaydab Hashem Moshe Leimor, Heiromu Mitocha Eda Azos. Hashem says to Moshe, get away from these people, Vachalos and Kiraga, Vayipu Alpaneim. Moshe and Aaron both fall. So it's interesting why only Moshe falls in the beginning of the parasha, and typically you'd expect everybody. So let's actually begin with that comment of the Ramban as well. This is actually something the Ramban...
One can just say that, you know, Maduat Nasu, that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it was actually in the front, that he's the leader, so therefore more that's why he's the first time we saw by Yitro Apanav.
But the challenge was really both, Rav Lachem. I mean, they were not just criticizing Moshe.
Yeah,
if anything...
Making Moshe Rabbeinu took it that a personal thing.
Well,
you know,
okay, so what you're saying may be part of what Ramban does, but he takes it in a little different direction than where you're going. But obviously there's something here about the personal component. Because it wasn't... I mean, if anything, who's more nogea here to this accusation? I mean, Chazal tell us that they were challenging Moshe and Aaron... Moshe too, and Dasan Bavirim certainly were doing that. But right now, the claim that's being made is Kichola Eidu Klum Kedoshim, meaning that there shouldn't be any special status of Aaron. So the Ramban says an interesting thing. By the way, this was, as we note many times, there are things that Ramban added when he went to Eretz Yisrael the last years of his life, and we know now which parts of the Ksav Yad were added later. This particular comment I'm about to read is something that Ramban added in Eretz Yisrael that wasn't originally part of his parish that he had written before. Vayipo alpanav, this is Pasuk Dal in the beginning of the parasha. Vayipo alpanav, velo vayiplu. So why vayipo, not vayiplu? Pasuk Dal in the beginning of the parasha. Vayipo alpanav, right at the beginning of the parasha. Vayipo Moshe, vayipo alpanav. So the Ramban says velo vayiplu, and not they fell, Moshe and Aaron, and that's what we find all over in the other places that we mentioned. And the answer is something interesting. Ki Aharon did musaro ubikdushaso lo ana davar mikbechol machokes hazu. Moshe and Aaron were by nature anavim. Moshe was the greatest anav. Aaron, of course, also v'nachnu ma ki salino aleinu. Aaron, out of a sense of ethics, out of his moral sense and his kedusha, he literally was silent. He didn't want to dignify, you might say, the whole machlokes by stirring the pot anymore and defending his own honor. He just, as if saying, you know, I'm out of it, whatever is meant to be, vayikim acharish, you know, as far as he's concerned, ukimoda, he's almost conveying, you know, I'm not, it's not about me. Ukimoda shemalas korach gedola mimalaso. Avo hu osek edvar Moshe, umakayim gzeras melech. Moshe Rabbeinu has the information from Hashem that he says Hashem told him that I should be Kohen Gadol, I'm doing it. It's not about me. If it were about Aaron's own status, then Aaron would also want to be part of this defending himself, falling down, you know, whatever it might be that Vayipo Panav represents. And again, that's, Ramban here doesn't really tell us what Vayipo Panav, at least right now, what Vayipo Panav represents. Is it davening? What exactly is it? Rashi seems to say it's almost like a sense of despair. Rashi's comment on Vayipo Apanav over here, Mipnei Amachlokes. This is the fourth time already after the Egel, Misonanim, Meraglim. Now Moshe says, I don't know what to do. I'm totally despairing. And that's what Rashi does with Vayipo Apanav. And that's why Rashi maybe learns it's only Moshe. Moshe felt he had to be the defense attorney of Klal Yisrael, and he's lost his defenses. The Ramban is saying, whatever Vayipo Apanav is, maybe Tefillah, maybe something else, but Aaron didn't do it, because Aaron is trying to show, like, it's not about me. Okay, that's the Ramban's first comment that he added in Eretz Yisrael. Now, regarding the relationship between Vayipo Apanav and the next pasuk that follows, Vayidaber El Korach. So, where did this idea come from? The Ramban has a few suggestions. I'm going to skip a little bit in the next piece of the Ramban, pasuk He, and in the middle of the piece, the Ramban gets to the point of why Moshe came up with this idea. Where did it come from? So the Ramban says that you have to try to find it. It's hard to know what your editions of Ramban are. But I'm going to read from the middle of that Ramban, where he says, V'hinei Moshe me'atzmo chashav ha-machshava hazos. So the Ramban is initially suggesting, this is going to be one of a few possibilities, Moshe Rabbeinu on his own thought of this idea, this strategy. that we should have everyone bring ketores. V'ratza b'ketores, yosef mishar karbanos. Why ketores? Why not other karbanos? Let everyone bring a karban. Where do we find in Tanakh that idea that everyone should bring a karban and see who gets accepted? Everyone knows the story in Sefer Melachim. We may end up referring to it at some point. Eliyahu HaNavi Bahar HaKarmel with the Nevi HaBaal, right? Everyone, you bring an animal, a par, and I will, and we'll see who the fire comes down for. So why was it ketores here? It's something similar, but why ketores? Ki ra kvar b'nadav avihu. He saw that there's a precedent that if the ketores is brought and it's improper ketores, like Nadav and Avihu's ketores, they were killed. So therefore he figures, look, those who are not worthy will end up getting affected by being in ketores. So he thought of the idea of ketores based on the precedent of Nadav and Avihu. But of course, he has to give the license, the permission. So he says, V'hitir la'aron lahaktir oso etzorach hashah. Now, I have a ha'ara here. It's not my own. It's Rav Simcha Zisabroida. I don't have an answer, though. It's interesting. He says, Hiter la'aron lahaktir oso etzorach hashah. He permitted Aaron. I mean, it's not just Aaron. Who else does he have to give the license to? To everybody, whoever's participating. In other words, okay, so you have permission to bring ketores, even though it's not normally brought, and let's see what happens. So why does he say, Vihiter la'aron, unless it was like a setup? Aaron is mutter, and therefore, you know, but then that's not really a fair type of a way to set it up. The deck is stacked against everybody else. I don't know what the Ramban means like that. V'hiter la'aron lahakter oso tzorach hashah. He permitted Aaron. And what does it mean, v'hiter la'aron? Like, who's Moshe? It's up to Moshe to do it, to be matir. Oh, another possibility, shahaysa ketores haboker sheikter behaloso esaneros kemishpat. Or the Aaron's ketores was the regular ketores that he brought every day. So I'm not sure what to make of the vihiter la'aron, but the point of the Ramban is it's Moshe's own idea. And then he says, if it's Moshe's own idea, then how would he know that it would end up determining who is the chosen one? If he's going on a limb then. Hashem didn't tell him anything. Says the Ramban, ubatach Moshe trusted, ki Hashem mekim dvar avdo batzas malach av yashrim. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu basically was putting it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I'm going on a limb here. They're confronting me and Aaron, and I am going to give them this idea, and I know you'll come through for me. Moshe Rabbeinu had confidence that by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to defend the honor of Aaron and of himself, and the way that he does it is by suggesting that everyone offer ketores, so Moshe Rabbeinu trusted that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu would actually come through. Now, begin to think about this. We just referred to Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel a minute ago. So think about the following question, which we're going to see when we come back to revisit it. Has anyone ever considered the question? Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel also came with this proposition, and he said to the Nevi HaBaal, okay, everyone brings a par, let's see who gets answered. And of course, we know the answer was Aneni Hashem Aneni, and then of course Hashem came and responded and brought down the fire for Eliyahu's par. The idea for this came from where?
It was a Horat Shah.
It was a Horat Shah to break the rule of Shchut Eichutz, to bring a carbon who's carbon to Beis HaMikdash. Correct. And that's a special dispensation that we know that you have to listen to a Navi to do that. But my question is, and we're going to revisit it, did the Navi who gave these instructions of a Rosh Shah to bend the laws of the Torah on a temporary basis, on a one-time basis, did these instructions come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Navi, which was then transmitted to the people? Or did the Navi decide on his own to say this, to do it? He didn't need to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him. The Navi says it. Navi has the authority to bend the words of the Torah on a temporary basis. Or did the instructions come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, I'm going to mention this, even though I'm going to come back to it, but I'm going to show you a language of a pasuk there in Sefer Melachim, in the story of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, when he presents Yudches, yeah, okay. So he says, he makes the case that Hashem, you should really answer me. Ba'alos ha-mincha, it's getting afternoon. Ba'igash Eliyahu ha-navi va-yomar, Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzchak v'Yisrael, ha-yom yivada, ki ata Elokim v'Yisrael v'ani avdecha. Uvedvarcha asisi eis ko advarim ha-eile. Those are the words of the pasuk. Ubedvarcha asisi eis ko advarim ha'ela. Now, Rashi says on that pasuk, and this is a Rashi that's quoted by Tosfos in Shas. I'm going to refer to the Tosfos in a little bit. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Ubedvarcha asisi? Shekrafti bebama b'shas iser habamos. That means that it's usher from the Torah to offer karban outside the Beis HaMikdash at a time that bamos are usher. So, therefore, Eliyahu says, Hashem, you know, uvidvarcha asisi is kodim ma'ela. Means to say, it sounds like he's saying, that this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command to Eliyahu. We don't know what Hashem said to Eliyahu, but we have to trust the Navi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, and we have to go against the Torah on a temporary basis, because that's the halacha of Elof Tishmon. So that would suggest that Eliyahu Navi is actually saying what he's saying, to break the laws of the Torah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and he says it was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. Now, without those words of that pasuk, I could have considered that Elof, that the Navi can decide on his own, and this was Eliyahu's own decision to break the laws of the Torah, and the Navi has the authority to do it. So in a sense, I'm coming back here to Moshe Rabbeinu with a similar type of a test here with the Ketores, and what the Rabban so far is saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu is on his own suggesting something, which is something of a no-no, right? And he says he was a special dispensation, v'hiter la'aron. Okay, Moshe is certainly a Navi as well, so you could argue that Moshe could have the authority that a Navi has to bend the rules. Why he only says hiter la'aron and not hiter to everybody, I don't know. But then he says, but at the end of the day, Batach Moshe, ki Hashem mekim dvar avdo batzos malach of Yashrim. Now, if we would pause right now, before we continue the Ramban, so I'm going to ask now the following question. We skip ahead to the other Ketores.
If you're saying uvidvacha, see the echoes of ma'ele, so why even bother saying, aneni Hashem, aneni? Hashem's telling you, do it.
That's a very good question. It's a good question. Why do you need the tefillah? Could be that I would learn out a very important chiddush here, that even when Kosh Baruch Hu tells you to follow whatever plan it is, but you still need tefillah for Hashem to follow up on what he said. You know, you can't just say, okay, now I'm doing what you're doing, and now of course you're gonna save me. No, tefillah, Hashem promises us that he's going to bring Mashiach, right? So why daven for Mashiach? I mean, it's a guarantee, right? But the answer is, tefillah is still a necessary part of what allows things to unfold, even when there's a haftacha. So I guess that's what you see. I think it's an important lesson that you see. Even if it came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you still needed the tefillah to be offered. It's interesting. Now,
Would it be a problem also in some Shana Anais if it didn't come from a Kadosh Baruch?
Okay, so this is a good question. The Ramban right now is saying the Moshe Rabbeinu did not hear it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to know the parameters of in some Shana Anais. I mean, because Moshe Rabbeinu realized he had to defend his own, you know, his kavod and Aaron's kavod, and it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who wanted them to be in the positions that they were in. So maybe he felt that he could be justified. I'll give you another example. The Makos in Mitzrayim that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring them against Paro, but on some of the Makos, four of the Makos, Paro says, Davin, that it should stop. Did Moshe Rabbeinu ever check with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, is it okay to stop the Makkah? He does David. So, I mean, the answer is he trusts. He tells Paro, don't forget, tomorrow, by Tzvardeya, tomorrow, it's going to go away. How can Moshe say that? How can he be sure? I wouldn't say in Simchan al-Anais, but he was so much in some way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not, the Ebenezer says that, in Parshas Va'era, that he trusted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not show him up. So here we went on a limb and tells Paro it's going to disappear tomorrow. And the Mela, he trusted that Hashem would listen. Okay, here it's a little different also, but he says he trusted it. Now, just before we continue in the Ramban right now, in the beginning of the parasha, I want you to think about the later Ketores, and that's when you had the Magefa, the plague that began to break out. So that's in Perek Yudzayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Moshe says to Aaron, take the Machta and put fire on it, and offer Ketores, and go and be Mechaper for the people, and it will stop the Magefa. So now a question would be here as well. Did this idea originate anywhere else? Did Hashem tell Moshe to do this? And here too we have to ask the question, what gave Aaron the right to offer Ketores just like that? And did Moshe Rabbeinu decide on his own? So very interesting, Or HaChaim, again, just because it's all connected. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh on that pasuk there, where it says that Aaron responded to what Moshe said. Moshe gives instructions to Aaron, and the pasuk says, "Vayikach Aaron," it's Yud Zayin Yud Beis, "Vayikach Aaron kasher diber Moshe." So what's the pshat? Aaron took the machta kasher diber Moshe. So the Or HaChaim explains, because this is against the din, against the Torah. V'haktik Torah chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo. It's not when Torah should be offered. It's not in the right place. Gozer Omar v'yikach Aaron kasher diber Moshe perush al pi navi. Moshe was a navi. V'yomein navi k'sheyomer laver al mitzvas achas mitzvas haTorah l'fisha u'ke'eliyo bar HaKarmel. Says the Or HaChaim, the pshat in the pasuk is that just like Eliyahu bar HaKarmel, the Torah says Elof Tishma'un, that if the Navi says to go against the Torah, you're required to listen. So Moshe could suggest that Aaron do something against the Torah, and Aaron listens because Elof Tishma'un. That's what the Or HaChaim says. That would assume that the suggestion to go take the Torah to stop the Magefa was Moshe Rabbeinu's own initiative based on the authority vested in a Navi, and this would certainly be mashma that it wasn't necessarily HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input here. Unless you say Hashem told him, but Or HaChaim doesn't make any mention of that. But it's interesting, that's what would be the sense of the Or HaChaim. Now, that's not necessarily what you see in Rashi, and this is interesting. Let's already discuss it now. There are really two Rashis, and in a way they're contradicting each other. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein and Darash Moshe raises the question. Unless you say that there are two different approaches, and Mefarshi Rashi maybe seem to be mashma that way. There are two different approaches. When Moshe gave the suggestion to offer the Ketores over there, later in the Parsha, he told Aaron. So first Rashi says, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Chapir Alehem, Moshe Rabbein received the secret from Malach HaMavis, when he went up to Shemayim for the Kabbalah the Torah, that the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe, the Gemara in Shabbos also tells us that he got a gift from Malach HaMavis. The gift was, Ketores stops Magefa. So that's how Moshe knew that if Aaron offers Ketores, it will help. That's one Rashi. Then there's another Rashi. The other Rashi...
So why
didn't
you do the Ketores at the end of Wait.
So let's see. So this is the interesting thing. There's a whole question here. The next Rashi, Vayamod Bein HaMesim Bein HaChayim, the Aaron is in between the live and the dead. So he says, it means really the Malach. The Malach is there. He grabs the Malach and he holds him there not to continue. Amalo HaMalach, Rashi brings here Chazal. Malach says to Aaron, Hanachli Rasu Shichusi. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. I have to continue to kill. Amalo Moshe Tzivani La'akiv Al Yadcha. So Aaron comes to encounter the Malach and says, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu commanded to me that I should stop you. Says the Malach HaMavis to Aaron, Amale ani shlucho shel makom, v'ata shlucho shel Moshe. I'm Hashem's shliach, you're Moshe's shliach. Amale, so Aaron says the following, Ein Moshe omer klum milibo. Moshe doesn't make it up. Moshe doesn't do anything, just like you see the whole point of the story in Korach is Moshe doesn't make things up. Ela mipia gvura. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imein atamamin li, if you don't believe me, Hari HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'moshe al pesach ha'umoy, bo imi u'sha'al. Go and ask. So here you have in the second Rashi that it's not Moshe Rabbeinu knowing from the Malach HaMavis the secret and now he's just deciding to use it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who told Moshe. So it's interesting. Which Rashi is it? Or the two different approaches? Again, and you have the Or HaChaim saying that the Aaron listens to Moshe because of Elof Tishma'un. And again, even that, we have to figure out whether that's based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling the Navi or the Navi himself. Let's now go back to the Ramban that we started with because it's going to relate to both cases of the Ketores. So far, the Ramban has suggested that Moshe Rabbeinu thought of the idea by himself and he trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Ramban continues with another suggestion. Let's continue in the Ramban where we left off. The Yesh Omrim, he has two other pshatim. Now he has a second pshat, and this is something Ibn Ezra seems to say, and could be other Rishonim as well. Ki vayishma Moshe vayipo alpanav. Moshe Ben was falling. Why is he falling? Lidrosh es Hashem, ledas ma yi'ase. Moshe Rabbeinu is falling because he needs Hashem to give him some strategy. What do I do? How do I deal with Korach and Hadassah, with this claim? What do I do? So when Moshe fell on his face, va'az nemar lo, what Moshe now is going to speak to them a minute later is what Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was davening. Boke v'yoda Hashem. How do you know Hashem said? It doesn't say in the pasuk that Hashem told Moshe this. No, but v'loniska zeh besipur Moshe, rak besipur Moshe la'am. It only gets mentioned by Moshe speaking to them, but it's not a kasha, because I've told you many times in my Pirush and Chumash, we have this many times in the Ramban and Shemini and in Parshas Bo, kvar hirisicha ki b'mekomos rabim pam yarech b'dvar Hashem, b'dibur Hashem el Moshe, v'yikatsa b'sipur Moshe, upam yasa behefech. Sometimes the Torah will give you one communication from Hashem to Moshe and not Moshe to someone else, sometimes the other way around, upam l'yaskar echad klal. Sometimes the Torah tell you more in one part and less details in the other, or vice versa. Sometimes it won't mention anything at all. In the story in Parshas Matos, Shesipra Kosov HaMaisa B'Moshe Ba'atzmo, V'hu Nasa Pi Hashem. Knows when Moshe creates the terms for the deal with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven that they should go and cross the Yarden, it definitely says Hashem told Moshe that that's what he should say. But it's clearly Hashem. How do I know? Kimosha Amru Isa Shadiba Hashem Lavadacha Kenasa. The response of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven was what Hashem has told you. So where does it say in the pasuk Hashem told Moshe? It's understood. The cost of Yoshua Eretz Agilat Eretz Achuzasam Shad Nechzu Ba Api Hashem Yad Moshe. Lest you say that maybe all that means is that Hashem agreed, you could argue Hashem agreed post facto. The im no Meshaya came between Haskamas Hashem. Maybe all means is Hashem agreed with it. Kinin sha'amar zosar tisnachlo sebegoro lashet tziva Hashem. No, the tziva Hashem, al pi Hashem, just means Hashem agrees. V'yia zem in advarim sha'asa Moshe midaito v'istima kadosh baruch hu al yado. Another Ramban refers to the Gemara that says in Shabbos that Moshe Rabbeinu had certain things he did that Hashem agreed with him post facto. So maybe we can add to the list, even though the Gemara doesn't mention it, we add to the list the deal with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. But I don't think that that's correct. Einu nachon sheyase Moshe davar b'chil ka'aretz ela b'shus. If it has to do with dividing Eretz Yisrael, that wouldn't be something that Moshe Rabbeinu would decide the details for himself, and Kosh Baruch Hu should agree afterwards. Ki akol b'mitzvos Hashem yase d'siv le'ela t'chel ka'aretz. So therefore, the Ramban is suggesting over here, at least, that it could be that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu all these instructions when he fell on his face. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over afterwards, transmitted it. And we find this elsewhere. Maybe the proof from over there could be one example, because at the end of the day he says it is a proof that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven only what Hashem had told them. And that could be a second suggestion over here. It comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying exactly what Hashem said. That's the second pshat. So we have one pshat that it was totally Moshe Rabbeinu on his own, trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a second pshat that Hashem told Moshe word for word, Bokeh v'yoda Hashem, exactly what Moshe said later to them was what Hashem said to say. Now we have a third pshat. Now when it comes to the third pshat, the Ramban is going to specifically link it to the later parsha as well, the later part of the parsha. The Daiti Bazeh, Uve Masha Amar Aaron, Kaches HaMachta V'Sim Ketores. Now remember that later in the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu also talks about Ketores. It doesn't make clear where he got that idea. The Ramban says, I'll tell you something that works here and there. Shehayisa alav yad Hashem bohem. There was some spirit of Hashem that was on them, meaning either Moshe and Aaron, or maybe it means regarding the Ketores, maybe. Bohem meaning the Ketores here, the Ketores there, maybe that's the bohem. V'hu anikra ruach ha-kodesh. Ki'inyan b'sifrei David u'shlomo, like you find in Sifrei David u'shlomo, shayi b'ruach ha-kodesh. So it's not exactly nevuah, it's something lower than nevuah. U'kemo sh'amar ruach Hashem diber bi, pasuk in Shmuel Beis, u'milasso al-lishoni. And Moshe Rabbeinu will certainly be privy to this kind of communication, not nevuah, but something other than that. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol beiso nemanhu. Moshe Rabbeinu is trusted, as we know, the pasuk Baloscha, b'chol beisi nemanu, kasher pirashti in habayis v'izkarti pamim rabos. So why doesn't it say exactly something along those lines? Haya alav dvar Hashem? Because m'pnei she'enu miderech nevuasu shel Moshe lo hizkar ben dvar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu's normal way of getting messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure nevuah, aspaklaria ha'meira. So because this didn't fit with the normal way that Moshe Rabbeinu gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messages, so it doesn't exactly say anything about how he got it. But now the third pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu received the message in the spirit of B'chol Beis Hinemanu, a spirit of Ruach HaKodesh. And that, says Ramban, works over here, and also works later on in the parasha with the Machta. Okay, there's one other Ramban that we're going to connect now with this. So we have three pshatim in the Ramban. Either it was totally Moshe Rabbeinu, or it was totally HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word as Nevuah, which the Torah just didn't tell us what Hashem said, but we know from what Moshe said to them that that was what Hashem said to Moshe, or it was something like a spirit of Ruach HaKodesh. And that would be for the Machta as well. Now, when right before what prompted the Hashem's decree to destroy everybody in the Magefa was people complained. Why did the people complain? They said, "Atem hamitem es am Hashem." Pasuk vav, yud zayin vav. What does that mean? Atem hamitem. What are people accusing Moshe of? What was the accusation? You killed the nation of Hashem. Who are the nation? Who's the nation of Hashem? And what are they really saying? What are they complaining about? So let's look at the Ramban on that. Pasuk Vav, Yud Zayin Vav. He quotes Unkris. Atem hamitem es am Hashem, Omar Unkris, atun geramtun demis amad Hashem. You have caused that the nation of Hashem has died. What are they doing? What are they complaining about? Who are the am Hashem who call Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu caused to die? So what do you think it's going on? Who are they upset about? Whose death? Is it Korach? Is it Dasan Vaviram? Or is it the 250 who are Makdir Ketores? And why is it called Moshe Ba'aron causing their death? Now, when Dasan Vaviram were swallowed up, so again, would that be Moshe Rabbeinu causing it? In what sense can they be accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of having caused it, Moshe and Aaron? So he says, Yiftor, what Unkis is explaining is, Ki Yashimu Osam, they are now pushing guilt on Moshe the Aaron, Alsha Nasnu Ha'etz. Interesting, he says Nasnu, as if Aaron is also part of it. I guess Moshe was a spokesman, but they assume it was Moshe and Aaron. Alsha Nasnu Ha'etz Ha'zos, Lahaktik Torah Zara, Lufne Hashem Midaitam, Midaitam, with the knowledge, Shemakrivim Osam Nisrafin. You are giving an idea to offer Ketorah Zara. And you know that if you don't have a license to offer Ketorah Zara, then that's it. That person won't survive. Ki Hashem lo omar lemoshe lahaktir ktoras hazos. Now here the Ramban seems to say definitively, Hashem did not tell Moshe. Does he mean it in the eyes of the people, or does he mean now he's going with the other pshat, pshat number one, or maybe pshat number three, that Hashem did not explicitly tell Moshe, or is it only in the minds of the people, and it could go with all the pshatim of earlier? Ki Hashem lo omar lemoshe lahaktir ktoras hazos. But this part is for sure true. V'luhu amar Yisrael b'shem Hashem lasus kein. The Ramban is speaking as if this is a fact. Hashem did not tell Moshe to offer this ktoras, that they should offer this ktoras, and he did not tell Bnei Yisrael in Hashem's name to do it. In Cain, so it must be by process of elimination. Maybe this is what they're saying or thinking. Me'atzmam nasnu eitzazos Hashem esu b'ha'am. It sounds like the Ramban is speaking about what they're saying, not what really was. It could be what was what Ramban said in the second and third pshat before. But certainly in the minds of the people, it was not anything but Moshe's own idea. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is the cause of all this. And therefore, they say, it's your idea, and therefore you are the cause. But apparently, the accusation had to do specifically with the Ketores. Very interesting. So you have to know how to square this Ramban with the three pshatim that Ramban said earlier. Just to sort of bring in a loose end here in terms of this issue of when, for example, Eliyahu bar HaKarmel, the halach of Elav Tishmoun, because Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly breaking the Torah here, right? To offer Ketorah Zara. So if we assume that a Navi has a right to go against the Torah, even without HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him, and we have to listen, therefore, because of the authority of the Navi, then we could certainly go with the Pshat of the Ramban that was Moshe Rabbeinu's own idea. If we assume that Eliyahu bar HaKarmel and anything like it requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell the Navi, then we'd have to assume that the Ramban's second Pshat, or perhaps the third Pshat, if you want to count that also as communication, Yad Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh, there'd have to be some communication. So actually, a Machlokes, two Tirutim in the Tosfos, in two places in Shas. and that is in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Tes Amid Beis, and in Yevamos, very close in Dapim numbers, so it's easy to remember, and that would be Daf Tzadi Amid Beis. So just think of 89 and 90, and think of Sanhedrin and Yevamos, okay? So the Gemara in Yevamos talks about the Koach of Chachamim, Lakar Davar B'Sheva Altase, and the Gemara considers the possibility of doing it B'Kum V'Aseh, that maybe Chazal could tell someone to go against the Torah by doing an action, possibly learning out from the case of Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel. The Gemara says he can't. You can't learn from Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel. And that's the Sugya Yevamos. And the Sugya Sanhedrin, the very end of the Perek of Hanachnokin, again, Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel. So Tosus in both places seems to have a suffix on this very question. I'll read you from the Tosus here in Sanhedrin. I have that open. So Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel. So Tosus says, it's mashma, it sounds like, from the context of the Gemara, is mentioning it, that it was B'Shem Hashem. And we have to listen and trust that he heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he doesn't offer a sign. But then he says, from the Pasuk, from the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi, it's Mashma the other way. It's a steer between two Gemaras. That's Mashma Elof Tishmoun, Afilu Omar Leich Avor Al Achas Mikol Mitzvot Amuras Batorah, Kigon El Yobar HaKarmel. So Tosus wants to understand what is it exactly. The Tosus says, in one teretz, basically Tosus has two possibilities, whether you assume that the Navi could do it without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it had to be based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, in the middle of the Tosus, he says, Upirish Rashi Ma'or HaGola. I think there's the only time that Tosus refers to Rashi with that, that title of Ma'or HaGola. We usually reserve it for Ben Gershom. He says the following. He says, Bikra'i mashma. In the Pesukim, it's mashma shal pia dibor asa. Dechsib Eliyahu u'bidvarcha asisi. U'pirish Rashi Ma'or HaGola b'peirusha l'neviim u'bidvarcha asisi she'krafti b'shas Yisra HaBamos. So this is two terutz in Tosus, both in Menachah, in Yevamos Daf Tzadi, and Sanhedrin Daf Pei Tes. And just ending with a Rambam in Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah, there's a Rambam in Perek Tes, where he mentions the halacha of Elof Tishma'un. And here's how he quotes it. He says, V'chein Navi she'avar V'chein im yom alanu ha-navi, she'noda alanu shehu navi, we know he's a navi, lavor al-achas mikol mitzvot samuras ba-Torah, o al-mitzvot harbe, ben kalos ben chamuros, lufi shah, mitzvah l'shmo alo. We have a mitzvah to listen to the navi, whatever he says to violate the Torah, v'kach lamadnu mikhachamim harishon mpi ha-shmua, b'kol im yom rucha ha-navi avor al-dibay Torah, ke'elyo bar-akarmo shmalo, listen chutz mi'avodah zarah. V'hu she'yih ha'davar l'fi shah, only if it's temporary. Kigon Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel she'ikriv ola b'chutz. U'mipnei she'hu navi, mitzvah l'shmo alo. V'gam b'zeh ne'mer elof tishma'un. Continues the Rambam. V'ilu sh'alu es Eliyahu v'omru lo. If they would ask Eliyahu and they would say, Na'kor ma'shekosu b'torah pentala olosecha b'chol mokom ma'shetireh, ha'ya omer lo, elo ha'makriv b'chutz lo'olam chayiv koris. K'moshe tziva Moshe, avu ani hayom akri b'chutz b'dvar Hashem, k'dei l'hakrish nevi habal. So the Rambam says, if they would ask Eliyahu, he would say, I'm not going against Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm just saying right now, akri b'chutz b'dvar Hashem. Says the Lecha Mishneh, nire de sover Rabbeinu, dehad Eliyahu al pi adibur haya v'lo midaito, u'kechat tirutza de tosos in Perek Nachnokin and in Yevamos. The Rambam is mashma like one of the two tirutzim in Tosfos, that it's only because he heard it midbar Hashem. If you would look at the Rambam in Perek Zayin, you get a very beautiful description of that, the special status of Moshe Rabbeinu in general. This is just good to end on Parshas Korach Shir, where he talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu never needed the formal preparation in order to accept Nevuah. He could always say, Imdu v'eshma'a, ma'itzava Hashem lachem. And it's just natural. He never, he didn't have the trappings of all the other Nevi'im, and it could be any time. And here you have an interesting question, this level of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, and to the extent that you had to have Moshe Rabbeinu even himself hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or could he just take the authority like a Navi and just decide on his own. And these two issues in the parasha relating to the Torah in the beginning and later in the parasha, and exactly how does that fit into the various issues of Eilof Tishmo and where the idea came from. Okay, everyone, thank you for joining. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.